left off last week, we were discussing whether one should be wearing tefillin on Tisha B'Av or not. We mentioned that there's a machlekes of Rishonim, whether Tisha B'Av is compared to what we call an halacha Avol Yom Rishon. The Gemara says beferish that on the first day of Avelos, so an Avol doesn't wear tefillin, whereas on subsequent days of Shiva, the Avol does wear tefillin. So does Tisha B'Av have that the characteristic of Avol Yom Rishon? So some Rishonim said, yeah. Some Rishonim said, it's such a terrible day, it was a morning for the Beis Hamikdash, that it's considered to be the highest level of Avelos, and therefore, like an Avol Yom Rishon doesn't wear tefillin, one shouldn't wear tefillin L'chol Tisha B'Av. And other Rishonim say, no, that it's Avelos, it's Shiva, but it's not Avol Yom Rishon, therefore one would wear tefillin. So we have a little bit of a split sock. That I mean again is that in the morning we don't wear tefillin, whereas in the afternoon maybe didn't we really do. If we would have held that you really it's us and wear tefillin on Tishbav, then we wouldn't have won in the afternoon either. The general rule in Tishbav is whatever is us and meikra din is also the whole day. All the inuyim, eating, learning, washing, wearing shoes, etc., those things are also the entire day. Whatever is b'taras minog, like putting on tefillin or let's say sitting on the floor, those things are only customary. Therefore, the minig is that we generally make about those things after chatzos. That's how our minig became into existence. The Rambam quotes a minig that existed in his days in some places that I don't know of anybody who has such a minig today, but the Rambam quotes that there was a minig in the days that we shown him that you only wore tefillin shoyad on Tisha B'Av and you didn't wear tefillin shorosh. Because tefillin shorosh was considered to be more of an ornament, more of a beauty, a pe'er, and therefore to wear that on Tisha B'Av, that would somehow be inappropriate. Tefillin shoyad, it's hidden, it's covered, it's underneath, nobody sees it, so maybe that would be more appropriate. Again, I don't think that minig exists anywhere but Zman Hazeh. But even though the Rishonim had a machlek is about Tisha B'Av, but everybody agrees that Avol Yom Rishon doesn't wear tefillin. That's a given. That's a Farish Gemara in a few places. That an Avol on the first day doesn't wear tefillin. There is a big machlek is a poskim. How precisely do we define Avol Yom Rishon for these purposes? That we know that in Hilchos Avelos, there is a machlek is a Rishonim, whether there's a concept of Avelos Midaraisa. The Gemara quotes different psukim from any of the dinim that we have of Avelos. It's unclear whether the Gemara means this a dinim deraisa, a dinim derabbanan. So there's a split between the Rishonim. So generally, many of the Chachmei Sfarah, the Rif, and the Rambam, the Gaonim, before them, are of the opinion that Avelos is deraisa. The concept of observing dinim of Avelos is a dinim deraisa on the first day of Avelos. It's called Avol Yom Rishon, is a din deraisa. It's derived from some of the halakhas of an onen. The din is that if a person's relative just died, he's not allowed to eat kachem, he's not allowed to offer karbanos in the base of mikdash, he's not allowed to eat maisa shein, either a dinim deraisa that speak about certain limitations for a person when his immediate relative just died, like dafam nadav v'aviv, etc. So comes the Rif and the Rambam, the Gaonim, and say that model of that a person just lost a relative is not allowed to do certain things, that carries over to Chos Avelos today as well. So the same way that the Onein / Avil can't eat Kabanas, can't eat Maaseh Shein, he can't be involved in any Dvar Mishal Simcha, he can't learn, he can't wear shoes, and he can't wash himself, he can't wash his clothes, etc. All what we call Chos Avelos today, so Minat Torah exists on the first day, and after the first day, it's only Midirabana. That's one view in Rishonim. And other Rishonim, Taisus in the Rosh, and the Chachmei Ashkenaz, and the Ramah, and the Shach, Haskin, that the whole thing is not true. That there's no such thing as Avelos Deraisa. Minat Torah, no such thing. Minat Torah, you can't eat Kachim, you can't bring Karbanos, but in terms of our practice of Avelos, the whole picture is all Midirabbanon. Machlekes is Rishonim. It's the first day Deraisa, everything else is Midirabbanon, or is the whole thing Midirabbanon? So in light of that Machlekes, and the post can point out, how do we understand the din that an Avol Yom Rishon doesn't wear tefillin? So according to the first group of Rishonim, that Avelos Yom Rishon is deraisa, and it makes a lot of sense. When the person is an Avol Midaraisa, then one of the dinim of Avelos deraisa is not to wear tefillin. So when it comes to Avelos deraisa, the halacha insists that the Avol can't wear tefillin, so he doesn't wear tefillin. When he's only an Avol Midarabanan, so the Chacham didn't want to institute an issur of Anochas tefillin, so it's a mitzvah deraisa. So they didn't want to ask a person who could otherwise Minat Torah wear tefillin. So they said, after the first day, when you're not an Avol anyway Minat Torah, then put the tefillin on. So according to one group of poskim, the Isra of Anochas Tefillin on Yom Rishon is patterned after the Din Deraisa, the Chiluk, the distinction between Yom Rishon versus the rest of the days. The basic rule boils down to, if a person is an Avol Deraisa, he doesn't wear tefillin. If he's only an Avol Midirabbanan after the first day, then he does wear tefillin. And other Rishonim say, what are you talking about? Other Rishonim say, there's no such thing as Avelos Deraisa. The whole thing doesn't make any sense. There's no such concept as Avelos Deraisa. And yet, Chazal said that an Avol doesn't wear tefillin on the first day. It must be that Chazal instituted a special list of the Rabbanan not to wear tefillin on the first day, not because he's an Avol Deraisa. That's the way it was. What gave them the right to institute that? How could they tell somebody who's chayv in tefillin not to wear tefillin? So they're away. So yesh koch biyak chachamim bought for a dover ben torah b'shev al tase. The chacham can tell you passively not to perform. It's a lot of ways to figure it out. But I'll call upon him whether or not the fact that an oval doesn't wear tefillin on the first day is that a function of avelos deraisa or is that a din derabana? That's what he's showing him. At the end of the day, he doesn't wear tefillin. At the end of the day, everybody agrees. On the first day, he doesn't wear tefillin. And on the subsequent days, he does wear tefillin. So who cares whether it's the rice and the rabbana? Mice and shkloch, it's the same. So now there's a big nafkamina ladina. So one of the Gedolei Acharonim, the Ma'ari Tatz, one of the early Acharonim, suggested that if you go with the first route, that Avol Yom Rishon doesn't wear tefillin because of Avelos Deraisa, then it's only true if the person is a real bona fide Avol Midaraisa. What does that mean? You just said, if Avol Yom Rishon is deraisa, so he's an Avol deraisa. No, the Rishonim explained that even if you hold that Avelos Yom Rishon is deraisa, that's only if it's what we call Yomisa Ukvura. That's assuming that the person died and was buried on the same day. So a person dies on a Sunday night, buried Monday morning. So the duration of that day, that's called Avelos deraisa. If a person dies on Sunday, is buried on Monday, that quote-unquote first day of Avelos is not deraisa. It's only Avelos deraisa if it's a combination of Yomisa Ukvura. Comes to Ma'ari Tatz and says, if you go the first route, that the reason why an Avol doesn't wear tefillin on Yom Rishon is because he's observing Avelos Deraisa, then that din will only apply if it meets all the criteria of Avelos Deraisa, namely Yom Yisro Kvura. If it happens not to be Yom Yisro Kvura, even though technically it's counted, quote-unquote, as the first day of Hashiva, but that's not Yom Rishon. Yom Rishon is only if it was both Yom Yisro Kvura. If you go the second route, that there's no such thing as Avelos Deraisa. The whole thing is the Rabbanan. And the Chachamim said, Avol Yom Rishon doesn't wear tefillin. So Yom Rishon means the first day of Shiva, you don't wear tefillin. So this is a big nafkamin ladina, very, very common shayla. If you have a misa on a Sunday and a kvur on a Monday, so the kvur is over, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, should the Avelim go ahead and put on tefillin or not? So they didn't wear tefillin in the morning because they were onanim. So then obviously they put the tefillin. But what about in the afternoon? Should they put on tefillin or not? So the Ma'ari Tatz paskin, that yeah, the Ma'ari Tatz paskin, like the first group of Rishonim, that since it's not Yom Yisipur, standing in 90% of the kvuras are like this in America. A person dies one day, they don't necessarily get the kvur in that day. Kvur is the next day. So according to the Ma'ari Tatz, you have a chuyuf to put on tefillin the next day, because the next day is not Yom Yisipur kvur, so it's not Yom Rishon. And just about everybody else disagrees with Ma'ari Tatz. The Shpura quotes most of the Acharonim who say no. That we follow the Ramah, we follow the Shach, we follow the Poskim, who say that Avol Yom Rishon is only the Rabban anyway, and still Chazal asked you from wearing tefillin, so it doesn't really make much of a difference whether it's Yom Misa Kvura, whether it's just Yom Kvura alone. That's generally what that practices. That's how the Mishnah Berurah paskins. There are some communities that follow Misafik the Ma'ari Tatz, and the Yakasha communities, they have the custom that they put on tefillin in the afternoon without a bracha. The Chayodim recommends to do that in deference to the first group of Rishonim, but others don't. Others just the pot and finish. Again, this is a fairly common shayla. I told over the story here, not so long ago, I was talking about the shayla. It's in a different context. I told over the story that I was at a levaya in Eretz Yisrael from a friend of mine's father. I was learning Kebiyam, a friend of my father's, a friend of mine. His father passed away, and they brought the Aron from America. When you have a visa in America, so it's never going to be a Yom Yisro Kvura. So the levaya was over about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. And I remember the Avelim asked, are we supposed to put on tefillin now? And there was nobody around. So whatever, whoever Rabbanim would have left, and the Chevra Kedusha had left, and so it was me and a couple of guys from Kirby Avna. So they wanted to know, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to put on tefillin. So I learned the Gemara about Avol Yom Rishon, but I didn't know all the intricacies, tatsas, with this, with that. So I said, I think this is Avol Yom Rishon, so I think you don't put on the tefillin tonight. That was the psach that I gave him, I don't know, 19 years old. So then later on, I felt a little bit Chalish Shadas about that psach, because that family happened to be in Yekis, and the Yekis followed the practice of the Chayyadim that put a tefillin without a bracha. I didn't have too much flesh to dance, because most poskim don't follow that. So they relied on the Mishnah Berurah. So the Mishnah Berurah paskins not that way. I think the Minhag in Yerushalayim may be like the Chayyadim also. I'm not sure anyone had any experience with that. Well, I'm not sure. I think maybe the Minhag in Yerushalayim may be the Chayyadim. But again, in America, except for the Yekis, I think most people follow the standard Mishnah Berurah that Avol Yom Rishon never puts on tefillin whatsoever. I remember when my father, Vashalom, was when he died, so I realized that he got me at this shayla, because he died at 11 o'clock at night, and so he died at night, usually hop around and get the kvur in the next day. So I realized that he had And he was an I was an Avul Yom Rishon Deraisa L'Chodeis. It was Misa Gvur Hakam Bigakol. There was no latest Asafik. There was no Shalom whatsoever. So in the morning, obviously, you don't put on Tefillin Atz Oinein. And then in the daytime, you don't put on Tefillin Atz Avul Yom Rishon. So you got out of all the Sfeikas. But if a person would die in one day and bury the next day, then you'd be totally on this on the Shem. Anyway, getting back to Cheerio Boss. Getting back to Chas Tefillin proper. So in terms of... see, Henry, you just reminded me. You walked in and you reminded me of the Shaila. So I forgot to tell the story. We just finished talking about Avul Yom Rishon, about an Avul Yom Rishon not wearing tefillin, right? Oh boy, did you had quite a scenario. So you have to remind me again. So it was perfect. Couldn't have planned this better. The Levaya was right after the Ben Shvat. It was Seis Kechavim.
Right.
It was like right after. Then you got back on the plane. You came back to America.
Not davened yet.
Right, so you had a daven in America.
So we had a daven shacharis yet once since the...
But you were technically still in Avul Yom Rishon because the kvura was... It wasn't Yom Yisro kvura, but the kvura was at night. It was a teis kechavim. So the post can say that the whole next day is the first day of Shiva, so you're in Avul Yom Rishon. So mi'ikra did, except according to the Maritats, you don't wait tefillin. So you will daven for the Yomud in your house, right?
Right. Was it?
Right, you asked me what to do. I said not to wear tefillin. Right. So it was a very modern thing. He had the chazan himself standing there. We almost never have that in America. He never would have such a thing because in America the kavuras are all during the daytime. So the Avul Yom Rishon is already done. Gemara by the next morning it's ready Avul Yom Sheni. But this particular scenario wasn't still Avul Yom Rishon because the kavur was the night before in Eretz Yisrael.
But
that was the.
But it was a question that I just reminded myself: what happens if one of the people?
Oh, very good. Oh, so this was a wild Avul Yom Rishon, because though many people follow the Shach that says that if some of the Avelim go to Eretz Yisrael, then they come back, they join up, they link up with the Avelim who are there, so then they're no longer Avul Yom Rishon, they're Avul Yom Sheni, Yom Shlishi, whatever day the other people are up to. But the Pesukim write that that's only vis-a-vis the counting of the 7 days, but vis-a-vis the Yom Rishon in terms of the sadness of the Ikar Avelus of Tefillin, so they're still quote unquote Avul Yom Rishon also. So I think that was your case also, right? That you linked up with your sister, I think, whatever.
No,
I forgot about it. What happened?
I think whatever, it was a whole big scandal, and we ended up pushing it to my brother and myself as the previous
as the exit. Whatever it was. Anyway, I remember we were being down on that show. Okay. I didn't mean to get you involved in a controversial broil. Anyway, get back to the story. Are there any other days during the year when one doesn't wear tefillin? So we mentioned the Shabbos and Yom Tov, one doesn't wear tefillin, Tisha B'Av. Kwaza doesn't wear in the morning. Chalamoid, we mentioned in Machlekes, have we shown him. What about Rosh Chodesh? Is there any reason not to wear tefillin on Rosh Chodesh? So obviously Rosh Chodesh in the morning, but not everybody have to wear tefillin. It's not an oath, there's no malacha really on Rosh Chodesh, there's no special mitzvah sayyom on Rosh Chodesh. So therefore, obviously in the Torah, one is required to wear tefillin on Rosh Chodesh. Nevertheless, there is a minig, a fairly prevalent minig, that one takes off one's tefillin before Musaf on Rosh Chodesh. Where in the world did this minig come from? So the Poskim write that this minig has a very strange origin. It doesn't really apply for us. The reason for this minig, for taking off tefillin before Musaf and Rosh Chodesh, is for those people who daven Nesach Svard. Daven Nesach Svard, so in the Kedusha of Musaf, you say Keser. As those who daven Nesach Svard, say we say Naritzcha, Kaddish, whatever it is. So they say on Shabbos and Yom Rosh Chodesh, they say Keser. So Keser speaks about the crown of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So somehow, in Kabbalah, it's not appropriate when you're speaking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu's crown that you should be wearing any crown whatsoever, even though your crown is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name on it, but somehow that's considered to be taking away from the crown of the Rabbanu Shalom. So therefore, in the Poskim right, Al-Pi Kabbalah, those who daven Nesach Svard should not be saying Keser or Musaf with the tefillin on. So that's what the meaning became, to take the tefillin off before Musaf. So somehow that's spilled over to the Ashkenazi and Nesach Ashkenazi also. But Mikra Din, there's nothing really wrong with davening Musaf with tefillin on. Again, that became the Minhag Yisrael. I've told over the story in other contexts about Maaseh Shehoyah, that I was flying back from America to Eretz Yisrael, and years ago when I was living in Kiryat Yavne, it was a Shchodesh Iyar, after Pesach, a Shchodesh Iyar, and the flight stopped in Brussels. Those who may remember Tower Air. So people from the old days, Tower Air, remember that? If you ever flew it, it's hard to forget it. That was the flight that we checked in and JFK, and the computers weren't working. The whole system was down, so we checked in everybody by hand. So I can imagine how long that took. So it almost took from one Rosh Chodesh to the next to get onto the plane. Right, so we flew Rosh Chodesh, and we stopped in supposed to land in Brussels. So we were davening Shacharis on the plane before, you know, on the way to Brussels. So we were davening Shacharis, and it was Rosh Chodesh. So it came time, we said halal, and it came time to daven Musaf. So everybody said, let's take, you know, let's get ready to daven Musaf. So I said to some of the guys near me, I said, yeah, I don't think this is such a good idea. I said, you know, we're going to land soon. They're going to announce very soon we have to sit down. I said, are we going to tell everybody to go now, start taking off the tefillin, go back to the seats, take off the tefillin, come back and regroup for Musaf? I said, it's not going to happen. I said, we should just have a Musaf right now with that tefillin on, sure, and finished. I said to some of the Bachar who were with me from Yeshiva, I said, you know, Mikra Din, the post came right. They've been having Nusrashkas anyway. So, Mikra Din, there's no real reason to take off your tefillin. This minute doesn't exist. The Rambam has a lashon that minhagim weren't said with milsad loshchicha. A guy's flying on a plane and landing in Brussels in 20 minutes, and that minhag is not binding in such a case. So I thought that would be the smarter thing to do. So I was outvoted by some of the other members of the minyan, who, believe it at that, happened to have been people who were davening nusach svard, and were very vocal about the fact that they didn't think that a 19-year-old bacha going to learn in Kamri Avna should be voicing his opinion about minhagim based on Kabbalah. That was, so it didn't hit off too well. Okay, fine. But Lemaisa, I still thought I was right, but I was outvoted. Fine. So what happened? So we all went to take off that tefillin, and then, of course, the minute we took off that tefillin, they announced, everybody, please sit down. We're getting ready for landing. So that was the end of Musaf. So by the time the plane landed, by the time we got off the plane, it was time to figure out where to put us in the airport to wait for 2 hours. So everyone said, okay, let's regroup and daven Musaf. Of course, we realized that it was almost Chatzai, it was almost Mincha Gedol already. So now we were in a pickle as to what do you daven first? Because when you daven Musaf, you daven Mincha, it's a whole complicated Shaila. What comes first? So, of course, I was thinking to myself, if somebody would have bothered listening to me an hour ago, we wouldn't have had this problem. So I remember we went to go buy a newspaper and to go figure out what time before Zmanim on our phones. No one had phones then. So the old style, you went to buy a newspaper to find out what time sunrise, sunset, and halfway through was Chatzais, figure out what time Mincha Gedolah was. Nobody read Flemish. We couldn't get a newspaper in English. It was a big balagan, total chaos. Oh, yeah. By beginning to end, it was a balakan. But all because they wanted to be mocked, but to take the tefillin off from Musaf, which again, Mikra Din doesn't really apply. But anyway, getting back to this story. But the meaning is that on Rosh Chodesh, we do say Hallel with that tefillin on. This is unlike the Hallel of Chol HaMoed. Let's say those people who wear tefillin, those who don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, this part of the Shia is not relevant for them. But those who wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, so generally take the tefillin off before Hallel. Why is that? Why is the minhag on Rosh Chodesh that we keep the tefillin on for Hallel, and Chol HaMoed, the minhag is you take the tefillin off? So the post came right that the reason for taking off the tefillin before Hallel is not really because of Hallel, it's because of Lulav. Because when you're about to shake Lulav, you usually take a Lulav, you're supposed to take the Lulav before Hallel, you shake the Lulav during Hallel. So the Rishon Rav Machlokes is there a din of chatzitza when you hold the Lulav. There are more quotes and a question about you have to take your rings off when you shake Lulav. So Mikra Din many a Mekel, but there are different Mechagim about that. So because of the Chashash of Chatzitza, when you're holding the Lulav, so the minig became that you take off your tefillin, you don't want to have your tefillin on in your hands, you take the old tefillin off already before you start to say Hallel. That's the reason, and obviously that would only be true Chol HaMoed Sukkos, it wouldn't spill over the Chol HaMoed Pesach. So somehow Chamish Asa, somehow that became minig on Chol HaMoed Pesach also. But because the real minig is only for Sukkos, and it was just kind of extended over the Pesach, that's why there are some who have the minig on the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach, they keep the tefillin on for Hallel, because they want to keep it on for Kriyas HaTorah. Because the Kriyas HaTorah, the first day Chol HaMoed, it's a weekday, the first day Chol HaMoed is Kaddish, the Parshas of Tefillin, so it's nice and appropriate. It's the only time you ever get a chance to have your tefillin on when you read the Parshas of Kaddish. So many have a minig on the first day Chol HaMoed Pesach, they daf can keep their tefillin on. Because again, there's really no reason to take them off anyway. The whole reason to take them off was Al Sukkah, so basically the reason doesn't apply. So, Kach Nagu, that the other days of Chol HaMoed, you take them off for Hallel, and for the first day of Pesach, many have the custom that they keep it on. Again, for those who didn't put it on in the first place, so there's not that much to discuss. Again, so you have a lot of these different days during the year, when some days, Min HaTorah, you don't wear tefillin, the Shams and Yontif. Chol HaMoed is a Machlek is a Rishonim, whether you don't wear tefillin. Tisha B'Av is a Machlek is a Rishonim, whether you wear in the morning, afternoon, we don't wear at all. Different Mehagim we spoke about. And Rosh Chodesh, Mikra, then you do wear tefillin, except for the Minhag Yisrael that you take it off before Musaf. Before Kaddish, yeah. Right. So the question is, what exactly is the role of the Chatzi Kaddish? Is the Chatzi Kaddish the end of the Uvol Tzion? Is it the end of Shacharis? Is that really the introduction to Musaf? So that's the question. If you hold that it's the introduction to Musaf, then you don't want to have a Hefsek, you don't want to say the Kaddish, and then have everybody take off the tefillin and shmuzim for 10 minutes, and then starting the musaf. So that kaddish is supposed to be the intro to the musaf, so it should be said, it shouldn't be mafsing, you should take it off beforehand. So again, different to yesh v'yesh. Most places they take it off, most places take kaddish first, and then they take off the tefillin, and then everyone's ready to daven, they give a klap. They sure and they do it the other way. So but they're different minhagim about it. It's part of the same story about whether it's appropriate for the rabbi to talk, to give the drasha before musaf. So there are some shuls where the rabbi doesn't speak before musaf b'shita, because it's you don't want to separate the kaddish, because the kaddish, according to some, the kaddish is going on the shacharis. It's the end of the kriya. It's the end of the mizmor David and mechiyom. It's the end of the tehillim of right before musaf. So then it would be inappropriate that you say all these prokhim of tehillim, and then the rabbi gets up, gives a 20-minute drasha, and then you say kaddish leading into musaf. So that would be not appropriate. So there are some who have a minhag because of that, that the rabbi speaks after shacharis. That's not why we have that minhag. The reason why we do the national is pure logistics, because it's quieter before musaf. That's why on bar mitzvahs we tend to switch the order. But there are some shuls that are makbid b'shit to do it that way. There are some shuls that the rabbi speaks before ashrei, whatever, like Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, because they want to get the ashrei and the tehillim, etc., in before to lead it into the kaddish. But again, mikra din, we're not so concerned about that. When we speak about the zmanim of tefillin, so one thing for sure, that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, we for sure paskin no tefillin. But the laila not tefillin, but the chavmoy not tefillin, those are all subject to machleks in the Gemara and the Rishonim. But Shabbos and Yom Tov, everybody, we paskin, all the Tanaim, the way we paskin, hold that Shabbos and Yom Tov are not zman tefillin in HaTorah, because they're not called an os. It's for this reason that the Gemara itself says that women are pturos from putting on tefillin, because it's a classic mitzvah cessation as zman grama. Since you can only fulfill the mitzvah 6 out of 7 days a week, that's called zman grama. Zman grama doesn't only mean a mitzvah like sukkah that you do once a year, or a mitzvah like shofar that you do once a year. Zman grama means any mitzvah that's time limited. So kriyashma, you do kriyashma every day, but only at certain times of the day. You do tzitzis all the time, but only in the day, not at night, whatever tefillin you do. 99% of the time you do wear tefillin, but since every once in a while a day comes, the Shabbos Yom Tov comes, that you don't wear tefillin, so therefore tefillin is called the zman grama. We pass it without any question that women are pturus from tefillin. Not a shaila about that. Women are absolutely pturus from tefillin. Question becomes, even though women are pturus from tefillin, is it appropriate for women to volunteer to put on tefillin? So this is a general question. But all mitzvahs say she's zman grama, say sitting in the sukkah. Women are pturus from sukkah also. They're pturus from shofar, they're pturus from lulav. So those mitzvahs that women are pturus from, we generally do recommend women to do those mitzvahs. We encourage women to come to shul in Rosh Hashanah, tear the shofar. Most of our women shake a lulav, also the women sit in the sukkah. So we encourage women to perform mitzvahs, even though they're pturus from those mitzvahs. Not only do we encourage women to perform mitzvahs they're pturus from, but according to the minhag of Ashkenazi communities, women even recite brachas on those mitzvahs. As the machlokes, the rabbi and Rabbeinu Tam, when a woman shakes a lulav, or a woman sits in the sukkah, can she recite a bracha or not? So Rabbeinu Tam said, yeah. Rabbeinu Tam says she can recite a bracha, it's alright. Even though she's not mechuyevus in the mitzvah, but it's still something, it's still a ma'isa mitzvah, it's still called a mitzvah kiyuma, she still gets reward for it. Rabbeinu Tam says it's not a mitzvah, it's not as a higher level as a man doing the mitzvah he's obligated in, but it's still called a ma'isa mitzvah, and therefore it's perfectly okay for a woman to recite a bracha on those mitzvahs. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that that a woman cannot recite a bracha. She could do the mitzvah if she wants, but she cannot recite a bracha. Because the Rambam held that bracha is a shir kiddishanu, mitzvaysa, vitzivanu. Vitzivanu means you're obligated. Vitzivanu means you're commanded. It doesn't mean that you're volunteering. Vitzivanu means it's a chiyuv gomor. And Rabbeinu Tam disagreed. So the Ran writes, B'dash Rabbeinu Tam, how could Rabbeinu Tam say that a woman can say vitzivanu? It doesn't make any sense, vitzivanu. The Maaseh Rambam is right, it's not true. It's not vitzivanu. You want to say asher kiddishanu, mitzvosa, v'anachnu b'kaimim ha-mitzvahs. But vitzivanu means a commandment, means an obligation. So how could a woman say with a straight face the word vitzivanu if it's not true? So the Ran writes that Rabbeinu Tam must have understood that vitzivanu is referring to Klal Yisrael as a whole. It means that Kadosh Baruch Hu was Kaddish us. He gave us and he commanded us as a whole, the whole Jewish people, as to do this mitzvah. Vitzivanu is takab eloshin rabim. And I'm about to do this mitzvah, which for me is not takab vitzivanu. So in Ochanam, he says Rabbeinu Tam, says the Ran B'dash Rabbeinu Tam. Even Rabbeinu Tam agrees, vitzivanu doesn't refer to the woman herself. Vitzivanu refers to Klal Yisrael as a whole. So this is an obvious raya that the Ran did not pronounce words like Galtzianus, because Galtzianus would say vitzivani. So vitzivani would mean he commanded me. Wouldn't it be true? So vitzivanu is a different word. That's what they say, that the easiest parasha for Hasidim to read is Parashas Tazria, because the hardest thing about Tazria is Negahu Taras, he. You know, every word is different, so if everything is he, so the whole thing is easy. It doesn't matter what you say, it's all the same word. Anyway, get back to the regular schedule of the program. So the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam had a machlokes by all mitzvahs. So even though we have no qualms with the woman doing mitzvahs, say she is, but she's my grandma, whether it's appropriate or not to recite a bracha, subject to this machlokes, and basically broke down to a machlokes the Sfarim and the Ashkenazim. The Sfarim follow the Pesach of the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch follows the passage that way, that a woman could sit in the sukkah, but she cannot recite a bracha. A woman could shake a lulav, cannot recite a bracha. And the Ashkenazim follow the Rambam. The Rambam follow the Shittas Rabbeinu Tam, that women can do the mitzvahs, not only can, they should be encouraged to do them, and they can recite a bracha as well. Rabbi Avadya Yosef had an issue with a lot of the Sfaradi girls in Eretz Yisrael. He felt it was inappropriate, because a lot of them were learning in Ashkenazi schools, and the Ashkenazi schools were training them to recite brachas and mitzvahs. So he felt that was really a breach. He was right, it was a breach of the Sfaradi tradition for Deri Deri, but they don't make brachas. So let's say even a brachas kriyashma. So women are not obligated in brachas kriyashma. So can they volunteer to recite brachas kriyashma? Yes, or brachoshech, avarap, etc. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, that's okay. According to the Rambam, that would be a problem. So the Rabbi Avadya felt that the Sfaradi girls were in the Ashkenazi schools. They're learning how to daven, and they're teaching them to say brachas levatol, according to their opinion. So he felt that it would be more appropriate for the Sfaradi girls to say baruch atah melech ha'olam without shem malchus. They should daven brachas kriyashma without shem malchus when they're davening in school. They should be trained not to make a bracha when they shake a lulav, and not to make a bracha when they say halal, not to make a bracha when they sit in the sukkah. But again, I don't know what's going on in different schools in Eretz Yisrael, but again, in terms of Pesach Halacha, so obviously that was correct. That was the Sephardi tradition for many, many centuries. But again, but in our communities, the Ashkenazi communities, we follow Rabbeinu Tam. So how does this play out in terms of Hilchos Tefillin? So if you would have asked me, Bechora, I would have said, it's the same thing. The same way that a woman can volunteer to put on, to shake a lulav, and to hear a shofar, and to sit in the sukkah, say Brichos Krishma, say halal. So a woman could volunteer to put on tefillin. So that's lechora what the din should have been. So the Ramah quotes from the Rishonim that is not true. The Ramah writes that tefillin is one of the exceptions to the rule. Why is tefillin one of the exceptions to the rule? Because the Gemara says that when you wear tefillin, so tefillin is not like just shaking a lulav. Lulav has no kedusha to it. A shofar has no kedusha to it. A sukkah has a very limited degree of kedusha to it. Most mitzvahs that we perform, so there's no kedusha to the chetzesha mitzvah itself. It's a chetzesha mitzvah finish. Haraya, when you finish blowing the shofar, mikra did, if the shofar breaks, you throw it into the garbage. Poskim say you should wrap it in a bag and throw it into the garbage because it's not, you know, not bekav addicted to throw it in with the dirty diapers. But mikra din, when you finish shaking a lulav, so when sukkah is over, you take the lulav and throw it into the garbage, finished. So okay, the kavod mitzvah, you wrap it up. But it doesn't require shame, it doesn't go into geniza. Whereas tefillin, the Gemara says in Megillah, is tashmish and kedusha, it has Hashem's name in it, it has the parshas in it, it has the shem Hashem in the bayis, that's the davar kadosh. Because tefillin is the davar kadosh, so the Gemara says that when you wear tefillin, it's not the same as shaking a lulav. It's not the same as sitting in the sukkah. It's not the same as hearing shofar. You have to treat it in a certain degree of kedusha, and therefore you have to be careful that your body is clean when you wear tefillin. You have to have gufnaki. If you have to go to the bathroom, you have to take your tefillin off. If a person is thinking, can't control inappropriate thoughts, he has to take his tefillin off. If he can't hold cup, both physically and psychologically, in terms of treating the tefillin properly, so he's not allowed to wear tefillin. Tefillin have kedusha to them. So therefore, the Ramah writes that a person who's chayiv in tefillin, so what do you do? He's chayiv in tefillin. So you should put on tefillin. A person who's not chayiv in tefillin, to go ahead and volunteer to put on tefillin, you're not chayiv in tefillin. So if you're a za ish kadosh or isha kadosh, you're such as a holy person, as a spiritual person, you can control yourself and you won't have any shaylas. Okay, but most people are not like that. We don't assume that people are on such as our levels of dargahs of kedusha today. So there are more rights. Therefore, we should strongly, strongly encourage, and he writes explicitly, mochen biyada, which means to stop. We should prevent people who are exempt from wearing tefillin should not be putting on tefillin bezman hazeh, which is the same reason why we don't wear tefillin all day. Mikra din, we should really be wearing tefillin all day. And we don't. Why don't we wear tefillin all day? So the Gaonim right, because we can't hold cup. It's hard for us to have such kedusha the whole day. Therefore, we, Minat Torah, we have to put on tefillin. So Minat Torah, you can put it on for a minute. You put it on for davening and shay. But to wear tefillin for the duration of the day, we can't really chayef to do so. It's not appropriate in today's world. That's the same reason why Ketanim don't wear tefillin. The Gemara said b'feirush that once a Ketan is a Yil Chinuch, he should wear tefillin. So we should have our 9-year-old, 10-year-olds. They wear tzitzis, and they come to shul, hopefully with the shofar, and they daven shacharis, we hope, kriyishma. So just as we encourage our kids to do mitzvahs, the Gemara says b'feirush, we should encourage our kids to wear tefillin also. We should not just encourage, once the child is a Yil Chinuch, he has to wear tefillin. So the Ramah writes, we don't do that either. You know why? Because not as we're not in such darkness. We're not from the Rishayim. We're not from the Malachi Asharis. So we wear tefillin all day. So therefore, we don't let our kids wear tefillin until their bar mitzvah. We encourage our wives not to wear tefillin because tefillin is just a special mitzvah that we don't feel that we're in such a darkness to fulfill properly. So that's what the Ramah writes. Beferish that therefore, if a woman bezman hazeh comes and she wants to wear tefillin, so mochin biyodu. We would tell her that's absolutely not appropriate. Then one could add on another factor. Once it becomes so inappropriate to wear tefillin, once it's become something which, again, the Ikamikra din women could have worn tefillin, but since it's become already such as our Minig Yisrael for so many hundreds and hundreds of years that women do not wear tefillin in any circumstances, now one has to raise another question. Now maybe it becomes a question of Degerish and Degerisha. Once you have something that's the Yuchel Bekach for men, when you have something that this is a man's type of activity, and or this is a woman's type of activity, so if somebody from the other gender is trying to imitate that, that becomes even another Shaila added on. Besides the tefillin issue, now it becomes a Degerisha issue. If you live in a place, if you live in a 3,000 years ago, what the Gemara says. The Gemara tells Beferish there were some women who wore tefillin. So the Gemara says that if you live in a place where there are women on such a level of Kedusha that they can wear tefillin, because the men are such a level of Kedusha, they can wear tefillin, then you no longer say that tefillin is just a men's kind of thing. But if you live in a place where nobody wears tefillin, it's been unheard of for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for women to put on tefillin, and now all of a sudden women start to put on tefillin, so then not only is it a problem of moichin biyada al tzilchas tefillin, that's Kedusha's tefillin, now you have to also begin to discuss maybe this is an even more serious violation, maybe of Begadisha as well. So again, this is something that, I think is non-negotiable. I don't think there's anything to discuss. Bechlau, I think that the Pesach of the Ramah should be implemented in full force. Bezman Hazeh also. How that plays out, Lemaisa, how do we accomplish Mochin, Bezman Hazeh? That's a question about, there are a lot of things that are supposed to be, when you see Chil Shabbos, you're supposed to be Mocha. When you see people eating treif, you're also supposed to be Mocha. But, you know, we don't always have the ability to be Mocha in the right, appropriate way. Okay, so that's a technical problem. But the halacha is still the same. The Ramah is still the same. So in whatever shape or form, we should be strongly discouraging those individuals who feel that they want to wear tefillin. And the counter-argument that they're doing it, the Torah, Ruchni is such a wonderful way of connecting to a Kiddush Baruch Hu. Again, I'm not here to judge people's character, but I think there are really wonderful other ways to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu. With Baruch Hashem, we have a beautiful, wonderful Torah and a Mesorah. There are many, many wonderful women out there who have found other, more traditional ways to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu properly. To claim that this is a way to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu in a way that has been against the Mesorah and against that tradition, against Minhag Yisrael for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, for good, good, solid halachic reason, sounds to be very, very bizarre that this is a way to encourage people to connect to Kodesh Baruch Hu in such a manner. This sounds much closer to other kinds of agendas that unfortunately we know have infiltrated and continue to infiltrate into our communities. Again, I don't think there's any justification for any shape or form to encourage in any way for women to be wearing tefillin. That's again, I don't only speak on behalf of myself. I think I speak on behalf of the Ramah. I know. I think that's what the Ramah says also. So I think that's pretty should be pretty clear and obvious to everybody. Anyway. Okay, you still keep holding those 5 minutes of share, right? Is it Kerry Bird? You approve? Don't say you approve of what I just said. Last 5 minutes, we can keep it on. We don't have to cut it off. Right? Okay, good. Make sure I didn't say anything too. Because you asked me whether we should turn off the tape before. I just want to make sure I didn't over.
I was also taping.
Oh, good, okay, just in case. Okay. Okay, that means it's now 7:52, so by 7:53, we should be getting the blogs in already. Okay, good. Okay. Maybe that last line. Cut it off. This halacha that we alluded to before, that a person has to treat tefillin in the appropriate manner, so this is a real ditnit. The Gemara derives from Psukim that what we call tefillin require that a person should be aware of the fact that wearing the tefillin are asurim behes chadas. The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma, we spoke about this on a Friday night shiur, a couple of months ago in the Yuma shiurim. So the Gemara says that when a person wears tefillin, so he's not allowed to be misiyak das from his tefillin. He's not allowed to lose track of the fact that he's wearing tefillin. He has to always be concentrating on his tefillin. That's derived from the Kohen Gadol. Just as the Kohen Gadol wears the tzitz, so it says, v'hayom mitzchah tamid. He has to always be thinking about the tzitz. He's not supposed to lose track of the fact that he's Kaddish, says Kaddish Lashem on him. So too, whenever a person's wearing tefillin, he should always have in mind that he's wearing, so he should be thinking about holy things, davening, learning, etc. He shouldn't be thinking about inappropriate things when he's wearing the tefillin. So there's Machlekes and Rishonim, whether this is a real Din Min HaTorah or not. So Tosfos writes, they don't think this is a real Din Min HaTorah. Even though the Gemara compares this to the tzitz, so Tosfos writes, it's not really the same as the tzitz. The tzitz had Shem Hashem, you know, the whole full Shem Hashem, exposed. It's a Kaddish Lashem. Whereas the tefillin, Hashem Hashem, but it's inside. It's inside the batim. It has the shin outside. That's not the full Shem Hashem. It's not the real thing. So Tosfos writes that he thinks the comparison, the Gemara says, just as by the tzitz, there's a din of Heschadas, that's also Kaparim Mitzchotamid. So we extrapolate from there to tefillin. Tosfos says, it means Bid the Rabbanah, they instituted an Isser of Heschadas. So in the Torah, there's no real Isser. And the Rambam doesn't seem to say that. The Rambam seems to say it's a real din in the Torah, that you're not allowed to be Masiach Das when you bring tefillin. What does it mean to be Masiach Das? So the Rishonim quote from Rabbeinu Yonah, the Rabbeinu Yonah thought that Heschadas doesn't just mean you're not thinking about your tefillin. Rabbeinu Yonah says that means you're sitting around telling jokes, schok b'kalas rosh, you're doing things that are somehow in the antithesis of tefillin. If a guy's just sitting in shul and just, staring out the window, so he's not being, that's not called Heschadas from tefillin. We're not encouraging staring out the window in the middle of davening either, but you can't say that's the isser of Heschadas. Heschadas means when you do something actively against the tefillin, some kind of an inappropriate activity or thoughts or conversations that are not in sync with tefillin, that's called the isser of Heschadas. A person is quote-unquote Masiach Das. He's blank, he's neutral, he's not thinking about anything. He's trying to keep his eyes open in the morning. So that's not the best thing, but it's not an isser of Heschadas as well. So the Shagasai claims that not everyone agrees to this Rabbeinu Yonah. That's a question, but I think we'll leave it at the Minhag HaOlam is like Rabbeinu Yonah. Most people, if they're sitting in shul and they're daydreaming, they're like, oh, come on, I have to take off my tefillin because I'm being Masiach Das. Most people don't. That'll be a very, very short davening. Most people don't do that. Well, we try to at least encourage ourselves and our kids that at least when you're wearing tefillin, it's not time for joking around, it's not time for schmoozing, either davening or learning or at least looking out the window, but it's not time to be doing things that are the antithesis of tefillin, so that would be the Isser of Heschadas. So whether or not everyone agrees with Rabbeinu Yonah is questionable, but I think that the Olam by default is probably relying on this Rabbeinu Yonah. That's Shem of the next year. We'll try to continue a little bit until next week. I'll be in Eretz Yisrael, so there's no Sunday morning Shia. Hopefully, Metz Hashem, the people are around the following Sunday. It's the end of vacation week, but people are still around for the most part. Okay, so Metz Hashem 2 weeks from today.